You're listening to the Speaking Tongues podcast. I'm your host, El Charisse. Each week, I sit down to a conversation with multilinguals where we discuss and celebrate language, life, and culture through our own perspectives. Episode 59, Speaking isiZulu. Hello, language lovers. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Speaking Tongues, the podcast in conversation with multilinguals. Today, I have the honor of speaking with my guest Tando about her language of isiZulu and about amaZulu culture. Tando talks to us about growing up in KwaZulu-Natal, an isiZulu speaking region of South Africa, but speaking isiXhosa at home. We learn about language education during apartheid and what kind of access students had to their own languages and world languages, and its lingering effects of this time in South African history. Most of all, in this conversation, we learn a ton about the ins and outs of isiZulu, including the prefixes one uses to determine the subjects we're discussing, dialects and speech patterns of isiZulu speakers throughout KwaZulu, and some similarities between isiZulu and isiXhosa. We also find out what isiZulu verbs have in common with one another, which sounds we should be focusing on in isiZulu, and Tando is giving the ultimate lesson in clicks, which I encourage you all listening to follow along with. Spoiler alert, I make a ton of mistakes, but that's all a part of learning a new language, right? And there's even a portion of a song that gets sung in this episode in which you'll find out which one of us has the singing voice of an angel. Another thing to take note of in this conversation, when you hear the word colored, please know that in South Africa, it applies to a multiracial ethnic group native to Southern Africa and does not carry the negative stigma that it does here in the United States. Huge, massive thank you to Tando for this conversation and for sharing so much of your language and culture with us. I don't know about anyone else listening, but I'm 100% ready to visit South Africa again. I will be setting up a Patreon soon with extras that didn't make it into the final conversation, so stay tuned for that because Tando and I talked about so much more than what you'll hear in this episode. If you enjoy this episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the Speaking Tongues podcast on Apple Podcasts so that other language lovers like ourselves can find the show. And if you've been a longtime listener of the show or a recent listener, you can now support the show on buymeacoffee.com. Links to all platforms are in the show notes. Okay, let's chat. Welcome back to another episode of Speaking Tongues. I am here today. I'm so excited. I'm here today with Tando. How are you today, Tando?
I am so well, Elle. I'm so well because I'm so excited too. I'm very excited.
I'm so grateful and so happy that you're able to join me. You're all the way in Johannesburg, South Africa. My favorite country by far. I love South Africa. And I'm so excited to talk to you about your languages. I like to start each episode with the same question, and that is, what is your first language and which languages have you learned to speak?
My first language is isiZulu, but I need to explain something.
Okay.
It is isiZulu because of where I was born and raised. I was born in Durban, so isiZulu is what's spoken there mainly. And then at home, I was actually raised by my mother's side of the family, so my mother's parents. They are amaXhosa, so they spoke Xhosa fluently like 100% of the time. So there was my language was kind of a mix and a bit of a mess for school when I was little. But my first language really is isiZulu.
Okay.
And then isiXhosa sort of when I was growing up, sort of a mix, but only really at home. And then I did work on, when I was at university, I did work on isiZulu. This is the thing with all the languages in the country. KZN, so KwaZulu-Natal, where I come from, is a bit secluded somehow. It is purely Zulu people. So you don't actually get much, you know, interaction with people from other places. Mm. So I had never been exposed to Lesotho. So when now these students from Lesotho want to learn auditing and they don't understand it from the lecture, and of course they stand up and I'm like, okay, you don't have money, teach me Lesotho. You know, teach me. I got the names right. I've always had an issue with that since I was a child. I've always wanted to make sure I recognize people's names correctly.
Of course.
But it was terrible. I could not get the language. So I ended up just getting those few, you know, like those few phrases, you know, like your greetings and things like that, you know, just to get by, just so, you know, but really, I never actually got to learn the language. Mm-hmm. However, in high school, I did French for 3 years.
Okay.
I was so good at French, but you know how it is, you don't use it, you lose it. So that was what, I left high school in 1996. So you don't use it, you lose it. So I don't speak French anymore, but I pick up things. But yes, but isiZulu is my first language. Can't say mother tongue because my mother's language is Xhosa. Awesome. Can't say home language because the language that was spoken at home is Xhosa. So it's my first language.
When you were in school, and maybe in your experience, or maybe something that's typical to school children in South Africa, what languages were compulsory to take? What languages were optional? And I guess which ones were offered to you that you had, you know, you had an opportunity to choose?
We had, okay, must explain. I grew up during apartheid. So there was no, and also the education minister during apartheid had been someone who was quoted having saying that there is no reason for I'm sorry to use the word, but there is no reason for the kafir to have an education. So because of that, then you don't really, what's the point of you having a choice in language, you know? And so we did isiZulu as our language in KwaZulu-Natal, which was then called Natal. We did English, it's survival. And with the languages in the country, and in English is more, English people, let me put it that way. English people have more of an influence in KwaZulu-Natal than other places, in like, for example, in Gauteng, with, you know, Johannesburg, where it's Afrikaans. So we then definitely did English. Afrikaans, we did, but it wasn't, it was very harsh. It's very harsh. I think that's the only word I can come up with to describe that experience. So when we left the country when I was a teenager, and never needed to do that again. I do know like your survival words and phrases, you know, but that's as far as I go. I don't always understand them when they say the very same phrases that I do know. I don't always understand them when they speak them to me. Mm-hmm. Unless an African person says it, then the accent is different.
Oh.
I can actually understand. I think the accent just, you know, it helps so very much. So I can understand them very well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was those three languages at school.
Okay.
And the way it was being taught was just, with the Afrikaans, was just way too harsh. But isiZulu, we learned it and it was great. And that, I had no issue with that when I was little. The English was really something you had to learn kind of thing, that because really how are you going to function in society if you don't speak English? And so we had to learn English. So I would even make up English songs in my head with all the few words I knew. So just so that I speak English, you know.
What yeah. language, you know, I know we're talking about so many languages at once, and I know that there are so many spoken in South Africa. I'm curious to know, what language was instruction given in?
For us, it was, I think at that time, was a bit of a mix. It was both English and isiZulu.
Okay.
But then I suppose we must actually always give thanks to the youth of 1976 who fought that we don't, and gave their lives, make sure that we don't actually get taught in Afrikaans, you know. So really, really grateful for that. So we were instructed in isiZulu for certain things. So we say, for example, if you're just not getting this math, but in English, but you know, your teacher can then switch to isiZulu and say the whole thing in isiZulu, and you're like, oh.
Okay.
Eight. So 8 times 8. You know, then it makes sense. Then, okay. Then, but other things then would be English. We did some crazy history. We learned European history. So we learned a lot about Napoleon Bonaparte. I'm like, what am I going to do with him?
But right, still, you know? Right.
So we didn't learn. We were not being taught African history when I was growing up. So much so that even, say, countries like neighbors like Zimbabwe and all of that, I didn't know about them well until I got to go to the library and read about them myself as a teenager. But when I was now outside of South Africa,
before I continue, you have to set me straight. So if I'm saying isiZulu, what is the difference? If I can I say isiZulu or can I say Zulu? When do I say what, or is there one that's correct and one that's not correct?
Good question. Zulu, the word Zulu doesn't tell you anything. Kind of gives you an idea that you're talking about us, but doesn't really say much. isiZulu is the language, isi, just like isi, French, would then be the language. Isi, isiNgisi, like English, you know, everything then is prefixed by isi. So isiZulu is the language.
Okay.
Then there are other things that are prefixed, so then other prefixes that change the word altogether. Now, all of a sudden, you say iZulu, and then now you're talking about heaven. If you are saying umZulu, now you're talking about person who is Zulu. If you're talking about the land, an area of amaZulu, then you're saying kwaZulu, you know? It's that the prefix is very important to let you know what is being spoken about, you know, what you're referring to. So isiZulu is then the correct prefix. However, I must say, it can be a bit, for someone who is used to only speaking English, like not only speaking English, but who's from an English background, I think people do struggle with that, in that I feel like I've already said the or a, you know? So why am I having to say it again? Because they're thinking that the prefixes, somehow people are fixed that the prefixes only mean those articles A, N, and the. So they always struggle with that, to say, but why do I have to say isiZulu? Because we don't say the French or the English or the Japanese when we are speaking English. Like, get your mind away from English. You are now learning a different language altogether. So yes, but isiZulu is the language.
Okay. I'm going to keep that in my head so that when we're talking, I'll say isiZulu. And I'm glad that you made that distinction, because I really I wouldn't know unless I asked. So, and I'm sure some listeners too, you know, they may not know. So now we all know and we're all on the same page.
Yes.
I would love to know about some dialects in isiZulu. So you said there's KwaZulu is like the area.
Yes, you said that so well.
I'm learning. So in KwaZulu, I would love to know about some of the isiZulu accents, how they mm-hmm. differ, and you know who speaks certain dialects and where, and tell me about them. Tell me all about them.
Let me say the naughty one first, because we used to laugh at them because we were just stupid. the people in the south of KwaZulu, I don't know if you've got access to a map, those people in the south say, if you look at Durban, use Durban as your point, then go further south along just before Port Shepstone. There are places like Dududu or Mzinto, places like that. Those places going further south, they say words. When I was little, I used to think like they are just being messed up. Until I realized that there is actually a dialect of isiZulu. Now, if I am saying down in my dialect, so that's Durban going up north. If I say down, I'll say phansi. Do you hear that mm-hmm. at the end? They say phasi. Phasi. So all of those NS sounds would just come out as C. So you're like, you know? So there are those ones. And then there are those ones who are way up north, close to, there's a place called Newcastle, which really is Madagini. The thing I must explain, area or cities and towns and stuff, is there are these colonial terms and names that are still being used, but we've always also used the African ones. We had never stopped using them. So that area, they have this. It's a mix. It's like you can tell a lot of them used to, as in their, let's say their ancestors, not these ones now, but they, a lot of them used to go to Joburg, you know, during the gold rush and that, to go and work in the mines. So they have a lot of those speaking with little bits of Sotho, little bits of Tswana in their language, even if it's not the actual words, but the accent gets in there, you know. There's that. Then you go further north. So the areas where I'll say, I don't like using this term, but I'll say it for the sake of geography, you know, to be able to find the place in the map. It's where people actually call KwaZulu. It's wrong, it's incorrect, because the whole area is KwaZulu. Mm-hmm. But because of apartheid, they sort of gave our king this small piece of it and said, this is going to be your area, even though it's not really under your control, but this is where you're going to live. And, you know, so that side, they speak isiZulu like we do in Durban and surrounds, but slower. Mm. So even when I teach, I always tell my students, must listen to the king when he speaks. So check the king's speeches on YouTube and things like that, because he speaks slower. So you're going to hear and pick up words, you know? So they speak so much slower. And which is really good for someone who's learning. And then when you go further north, it's still called KwaZulu. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm sure people would probably shoot me if I say this somewhere else. But as far as I'm concerned, that's Eswatini, as in Swaziland. Mm. expressed some concern. So that area around or along Eswatini, that area has that huge Swati influence.
Really?
So they are speaking isiZulu, not isiSwati, but they are speaking it with the Swati accent.
Oh.
So they won't change the word. You know, like, let's say a girl in isiZulu, a young lady, intombi, intombi. In Siswati, it's intfombi.
Okay.
That F we don't have. So the ones in KwaZulu won't actually have the F, but the tongue would be so soft and so, they kind of sound so cute. They will be so soft. They have the most softest, gentlest accent. Like, you cannot be shouted at by a Swati person.
Oh.
You cannot. It's just like way too gentle. Okay, I like accents. Like, so then I'll be like, where are you from? Are you from up north? Because you're not speaking Swati, but you're speaking isiZulu, but you're speaking it with a Swati accent. Then look at me like, well, who are you? You know? But yeah, but I do like accents. So yes, so there are those differing accents. So really, they are beautiful. But what I find interesting, though, I must say, there isn't one that has a Sotho influence. You considering Lesotho is along, you know, we share a border. There isn't one with a Sotho influence. So yeah, but they are varied, the accents, but you can all understand each other completely well.
Yeah, that's amazing. So you mentioned, you know, the different accents, and, you know, I'm still thinking in the context of different languages as well. For people who use isiZulu as a non-native language, how do you notice that they use the language? Is it for business? Is it with maybe they only speak with family, maybe through for educational purposes or anything else? Like, how does that make sense?
I get you. So that depends who the person is. Is it, it's a race thing? Is it a white person? Is it an African person? Is it a colored person? Or is it an Indian person? With white people, it's work. Speaking to your employees who are laborers, so you're more informal type. Work laborers, you're uneducated type people, let's put it that way. So they would then be, the employers would then do tend to want to learn isiZulu so that they can speak to them in it. So you hear that. With African people, it's all social. Because, and then also, when you go to, say, for example, you're coming from up north, because the people who would really be sort of more in a position where they really need to learn, are people from the north side of the country. So Johannesburg, so Gauteng and Limpopo and all of that. So those people, isiZulu would be new to them. So we would then be needing to learn from scratch, because they have the faintest idea of what even the hello is, you know. So you've got those people. They might learn to just, you know how it is, if you go and then and study in French, in a French speaking country, you want to at least, you know, have a social life, so you may as well learn the language. But the instruction at school would be in English. So you won't have a problem with that. Now, so it's all social. With colored people, I think my heart always aches and hurts for colored people because of what apartheid has done to our country. Colored people are black, but, you know, black but. Mm-hmm. So with apartheid, it made colored people sort of, it made them feel elevated, like you are better than these K-word people. Mm-hmm. So they kind of, even today, have this thing that they don't have to learn African languages, so much so that you find some of them not calling themselves African. So they'll say these weird things like, well, African people are this, this, and that, but they're not seeing themselves as African. It's like, you do realize that you are also, you know, but that's because of apartheid. And it's a huge damage. That it's a lot of work to work on that. So that, you know, it really has to be done. And I really wish that the country could not sweep those problems under the rug. It's really wrong. But they will tend to not, even when they do understand, they will not want to be seen or known by others that they speak any African language. Like people must just not know. So there's that issue with colored people. But you find now, I've come across people who are colored who are now trying to learn isiZulu or isiSwati, they've been born and raised in an area where those languages are spoken all the time, but they never learn. And when they start, even the greetings are just this huge, difficult thing. The ones that you think, okay, I'm sure this one will be fine. This is the easy part. And they, just for them, it's like so hard because they've never, ever learned, you know. So they learn survival. And then when it comes to Indian people, goes back to apartheid, Indian people have in if you are in KwaZulu-Natal, you would know that rift, that tension between African peoples and Indian people. And it's sad because they were forcibly brought here. So it's not that they asked to come here in the first place. So, you know, for me, it's always like, we don't have to fight each other. I know that you were forcibly, you know, your ancestors are forcibly brought here by, you know, from your country, and now this is home for you. Let's not fight. Let's just get on, you know, just fine.
Yeah.
But you find that with those apartheid divisions, that they're still holding on to them. So there is that they will then feel the superiority to African people.
As you're talking, I was thinking, in a place like South Africa where there are so many languages spoken and people from, you know, different parts of the country, what tends to be the lingua franca when you're speaking to someone? So I guess, for example, you know, if you're with people who all speak isiZulu and maybe someone else, you know, speaks a different language, but they can understand. But if you were, you know, maybe you wouldn't switch to another language, but if you maybe were with people and you didn't know how comfortable they were, or maybe you're just meeting for the first time, what do people tend to default to? What language do people default to communicate with one another?
It depends where you are. If you are in KwaZulu-Natal, I see a black person, I will greet you in isiZulu.
Okay.
Until I realize that you don't understand it, then I'll switch to English. Because chances are I do not know any other African language, and so I'll then speak to you in English. If you are in the southern part of the country, so the Eastern Cape and the Western Cape, it's Xhosa. If I see a black person, I'll speak in Xhosa. I'll greet them in Xhosa, you know, to switch, you know. isiZulu and isiXhosa are very close. And so it's, so even though they can, there is something called Xhosa A, something called Xhosa A that even some Xhosa people, they don't understand it either. And it's like really, really hard. So if then someone speaks that, then I will not be able to. And they have way too many clicks, by the way. Like, they have the same clicks that we have, mm-hmm. but they have way too many of them, like, all the time. We don't have that. So for me, I actually get tired. You know, like your jaw, you feel it. That's like, can we just like, take a break from speaking right now? But with that south part of the country, then that's now is closed.
Okay.
With the going up north, you are going to a mix. I'm saying a mix as in I don't know, seafood gumbo. I don't know, like jambalaya. I don't know how to put it. It's just this mix. But the reason being, it's the economic hub of the country.
Mm.
You know, with the gold rush, it created this thing with, you know, around Johannesburg and all of the mines in the area. It created this thing that this is where everyone congregates. So it's this melting pot of languages. If you are in the north, like right now where I am, people will greet you in Setswana. But when they realize that you don't speak their language, they switch to English.
Mm, okay.
But in social settings, that's where it's now beautiful. You'll find AmaZulu has spoiled. You will find someone who speaks isiZulu. So that is where I always feel you've got to go out of your comfort zone. That's why I ended up getting myself a tutor back then. Because you've got to get out of your comfort zone to then get someone to learn the language. So there are a lot of AmaZulu who speak Setswana or Sotho in there. But you kind of become comfortable because you know that definitely somebody speaks or understands isiZulu. You know, like something you cannot tell me you do not understand. You know, so they are so that's the language that people fall back to, so much so that people from, like, say the Zimbabwean South African border, from way up there, you'll find them knowing this is so when they get to Joburg themselves, just for the sake of survival, to just get around, they'll be speaking to people in isiZulu. Because those are the people you find, you know, most of the time. And right. then, you know, until you hear the person saying, oh, no, I'm Chibutwana, you know. But that's the language. You're sort of safer with isiZulu.
Okay.
Because you know somebody's going to understand you. And then also keep in mind, the languages are kind of, you know, connected. There are certain things, if you've got an ear for language, you can sort of figure out what someone is saying. Until you get way up north now with Pedi, Tsonga, and Venda. But I saw you, I'll visit my friend, and if her mother-in-law is there and they're talking to each other, I have no clue what they're
wow.
saying. And then this other friend of mine, she is Mtsonga, when she's talking on the phone with her family, I have the faintest idea what she's saying. With English, I find the youth, especially your millennials. Let me say your millennials. Yeah. They will speak English.
Now, let me ask you: is it common to hear a mixing of different languages, like not just in a conversation but in a sentence? Do words kind of come into the lexicon, maybe from isiZulu? English, Africa, like is there that kind of maybe substituting of words or an invention of new words or this thing that's become I sound like such a grandma saying this, but like a young people slang that has a mix of, you know, Xhosa and isiZulu and English?
Yes. Okay. Very much so. There's the old thing which everyone does, where, like I was saying much earlier with Setswana, where someone then puts in an Afrikaans word but conjugates it in Setswana, and she'll is like, what are you saying? But that's also done in isiZulu with English instead of Afrikaans. So for example, just listen to this. Ngiyaklina. Did you hear that? Cleaner. I'm cleaning.
Oh,
okay. So I've actually taken the verb to clean and put an A at the end of it to make it a verb in isiZulu, because almost all verbs in isiZulu end in A.
Okay.
And then, of course, you just put in now the pronoun in whatever tense you want. So ngiyaklina, I'm cleaning. Ngizofona, I'll phone. You know? So there's that. That's been done for a long time. Mm-hmm. I grew up, that was being done. But these kids, that's my kids, they will mix things up. Ooh, yeah. They will mix things up that we sit there and we have no clue what they are saying. They can actually gossip or say something about you in front of you and you don't know. So they will have a lot of English, right? But they are putting in the African words in the language, but you have, you know, in their sentences, but you can't follow along anymore. It's very interesting to watch. But my concern there is you're losing your language. You can speak your slang, that's fine. But I wish you could still be able to speak your language still. Right. You know, you don't have to be an A student in it or anything like that. You don't have to master it, but at least know it, don't lose it. My heart always aches with that one, like, please don't lose your language, you know? So doesn't matter what language it is in Venda, but just don't lose it. You know? So yeah, but it's funny that it's language.
You mentioned just before I asked about that, you were saying that the clicks in Hausa there are more clicks in Xhosa than in isiZulu. Do I say isiXhosa?
IsiXhosa, yes.
Oh my God, I'm so
even in their language, actually isiXhosa.
No, I love that. I had no idea. So I'm learning so much, and I'm always like such a nerd. I'm so excited to learn like everything. But the clicks in, and I know I'm not gonna do the click right, but I'm gonna try, in isi Xhosa to isiZulu, how okay, so they have more clicks in that language than in isiZulu. Can we talk about the clicks? What do they represent? What do they sound like? What, like, how many different clicks are there? clicks in Xhosa different than the clicks in Zulu? Like,
there are actually only three.
Okay.
And they are all spelled the same way between the two languages. The thing is, amaXhosa use them all the time.
Okay.
Every other sentence has a click. We don't actually do that. We don't have that many words with clicks.
Okay.
So the clicks are, there's the C, the letter C, right? Which is, it just sounds like, so you're just pressing a little bit of your tongue right at the back of your front teeth and let go quickly. That
okay.
one.
Okay.
Now that C has its own variations. Then you have the NC, which is the same sound but a little deeper. Mm-hmm. Do you hear it now?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Then that's the same. Both this is Zulu and is Xhosa. Then you have the Q. The Q has more variations. It's the single Q. So, yes, that one. So your tongue goes, you see that sort of rugged or ridged part of your palate? Your tongue goes up there and you pop it. But your tongue has to be pointy. It must not go flat, because then the sound will change.
Oh.
And now you start saying a different sound. So the sound you are making right now is correct. It's just the Q.
Okay.
Now, if you add an N, so NQ, soften the tongue a little bit, so it's kind of flatten the tip a little, Yes.
Okay.
Now let's change it now. NGQ. So now you've actually stiffened the tongue itself, even at the bottom like part of the tongue.
Okay.
So you feel that sound when you make it. You feel it on your tongue. Mm-hmm. So try some more with your, try and curl your tongue some more. So curl your tongue more. Make sure that the tip of your tongue is touching your palate, the tip. Don't flatten the tip. And then
I can't click that loudly, but
so that was it. Okay. That was it. But you hear people may not make it exactly the same way. Even I don't make it exactly the same way sometimes, because if my tongue is lazy at that time, you'll hear it sounding the way you've just made it. And then you have the you've got the X. The X on its own is just. Then you've got that, yes. Then you've got NX. Do you feel that you're kind of twisting your jaw a little
bit?
Yes. Then you've got the NGX. Do you hear there isn't much of a difference between the NX and the NGX? So much so that if you haven't swallowed before, you won't be able to do the NGX properly. So you've got to swallow. My students always laugh like, I really have to swallow.
This is so cool.
So we've got those sounds, the clicks, but they use them more amatosa. But really, you know, it's there is also the showing off part. Like there is one guy.
It's always that one guy.
He will make sure he puts an X and a Q word all the time. Like when he's speaking, like, dude, you mind? Because like really, it's, you know, I lost you like 2 sentences ago. But my grandmother, on the other hand, and my grandfather, they didn't use that Xhosa A. They just spoke his Xhosa like your normal conversational one. So you understood, you know, everything that they were saying. But yes, but they use their clicks so much. If you listen to, you know, like the Miriam Makeba's tongue twister song.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really her song, it's a folk song, but yeah, but that one. It says, no one speaks like that.
Mm-hmm.
Even it's a tongue twister, even for Makos, you know, so no one speaks like that. So it won't be every other word being a click word. It will, it may be, you know, like maybe you have one in every sentence.
Okay.
You know, and then we do differ with sounds with, say, there are these sounds that we make with the front teeth. We do differ slightly with those because they then have a unique one, which is a TY that we don't have, that they go nuts when Amazulu get wrong. Because it goes like this. It's a TY. So if I'm saying a flower in Xhosa, I'll say inkiyankiyambo. But tumzulu, it's like inchanchambo. You know? But the only reason I know it is because I was raised by a Xhosa. People really do struggle with this. Like, inkiya? Why am I not just saying ch? If it's, and they're like, no, it's you know, so it's so those are the slight differences now with the sounds.
To somebody who is not from South Africa, not familiar with AmaZulu, isiZulu language, what are some things about the language, not the language, because we've been talking about that for like this whole time. What are some things about the culture that set it apart from the other cultures in South Africa?
I must say, as much as each nation prides and praises itself, there's so much similarity. You just call things different names, different words, because you're speaking different languages.
Mm-hmm.
So when you, with AmaZulu, respect is a very important thing. Very important. If you show respect, if you are respectful to in your approach with your people, and they will bend over backwards to make you happy. To, you know, even if you are, you know, they don't know you or your people, they will look after you. You know, respect is a thing. Now, there are those things that, you know, don't look at elders in the eye and things like that. But people are more understanding of you certainly don't come from around here, so you won't know. So they don't really bother that much. So respect is a thing with us. And then there's also the kindness or generosity, which is in the language all the time. If you listen to the language being spoken, even the proverbs that you hear, there's a lot of that in it. So you'll hear, say, for example, let me give you an easy word that is thrown around a lot in philosophy lecture, by philosophy lecturers, Ubuntu. Ubuntu comes from the word person, which is umuntu, right? So if you are a person, this is how we expect you to behave. This is how we expect you to live. We expect you to be kind. We expect you to be, you know, this and this and that. So if you're not having that, then you're not a person. So basically, that's the simplistic way of putting it, that you cannot be a person. So if you, let's make some an ugly example. If you rape, you're not human. So ubuntu is an abstract of the noun umuntu, which is a person. So ubuntu is then humanity or humanness.
Yes.
So all those words that you would hear with ubu are actually abstracts of other nouns. Like if I say ubunja, inja is a dog. So ubunja is dogly behavior.
Oh.
You know, so ubuntu is abstracted from umuntu. Now, there's that ubuntu. There's something, it's something that's expected. So people will have that, who is this, you know, and they will shun you if you behave in that horrible or evil way. If you're horrible to other people. And then you've also got the, when I'm saying the generosity, you've got, like, say, for example, take the proverb, umuntu, gumuntu. You hear, I'm just said the same word like three times.
Yeah.
So a person is a person because of other people.
Oh.
That's really what it is. So usually it's just summed up, it is in I am because you are. So, but the literal translation is that a person is a person because of other people. Umuntu, ngumuntu, ngabantu. So that is it's in different ways. Don't keep to yourself and not ask for help. We are here for you. And then there's also, don't be selfish. Help other people. Extend a hand, you know, and lend a hand and help other people. So there's that amongst AmaZulu a lot. So you'll find people with COVID, people really struggled so much, Elle, because it feels so un-African.
Mm.
We want to be there for each other.
I just want you to know that I'm ready to come back and visit South Africa after we've been having this conversation. That just sounds like such an amazing thing. And, you know, what I love about asking people about their culture is because I'm curious. That's really the only reason. I do appreciate you sharing that and sharing that concept. And I hope that people listening can, you know, try to embody that in their lives, like no matter where they are, because I hope the last year and a half has taught us all that we have to stick together. Like we don't really have a choice. It's the only way that we're going to get through this is, you know, by sticking to each other. So for me, when I come back, and for anyone who's listening, who's already like, yeah, I'm ready to go to AmaZulu. I'm ready to go to South Africa. I'm ready to go to Durban, enjoy myself. I've heard amazing things about Durban, and I really can't wait to go. The first thing we have to do is we have to learn some isiZulu. And I think you are the woman who can help us with that. So please tell us about Zulu with Thando. Why did you decide to start teaching Zulu in the way that you teach? I'd love to hear about your clients and your students. What are some of their reasons and motivations for wanting to learn isiZulu? And most importantly, please tell us where we can find you and how we can get in touch with you.
Zulu lessons with Thando. I started it because I learn a certain way. So let me make an example. My Afrikaans teacher, right? He would walk into class for like the first 5 minutes, he's speaking Afrikaans, and he's like, and I have no clue what the man said. And of course, if you then, there will be an instruction in there. So of course, if you then don't do the thing, then you get into trouble and you get a whipping and you know. Yeah. So I used to then be one of those who would get that whipping because I had no clue what was saying. So a friend of mine and myself, we would exchange our homework in the morning. I'd give him my math homework and she'll be there after that homework. And I just helped. Because I had no clue what I was doing. And that was that. But now, if I now want to learn, I realize I need someone who will teach me this language I don't know in a way that helps me. Because other people learn easier with immersion. I don't. I need to first learn all the little nitty-gritties of the grammar. I want to see that first, you know, before me. And then I go in gently, you know, with the immersion. I'm just not one to go and dive into a swimming pool. I don't know the depth, you know, of it. So it became that thing for me that no, man, there isn't something somewhere where someone is sharing this thing in a way that is going to help us, even if it was being sold to me or whatever, but at least have it. Now, I have family in the States, and the family in the States doesn't speak isiZulu. And they are looking up things, you know, resources online, and they cannot find. If they do find, there's a lot. Let me explain. There's a lot online, but it's actually done by people who are not native speakers, so they are pronouncing things incorrectly. So you'll hear even words with the HL sound, and they are saying shl, shl. But that's SHL. The HL sound in isiZulu is, do you hear that?
Yeah.
There's that, you know, so they are busy, they are teaching people in the wrong way. I don't even get why they're not even bothering to get someone who, if you've got the resources, then find someone who then speaks it, you know, correctly, then you can then record them speaking or something. So then I realized, you know what, one of us has to do this, and I'm going to be that person, because it's something, I love language, I love culture, so I have to then also be true to myself. There is, it's very big here in South Africa, you find people it's unfortunately the white people usually want to learn without the culture. Mm. I don't know how you teach language without culture. So it just makes it so bland. It's like it's just bland. It's just, what am I doing to myself? So they want to learn just so that they can get by and be able to say whatever they want to say. But, you know, so to me it was like, I'm going to do mine. I'm going to do it my way. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to take you back to, I don't know, 1532 and tell you and speak that way. That's why I teach modern conversational language. But I'm not going to strip it of its culture. There's so much culture in language. There is so much, even in just greeting, you need to know who you're talking to first.
Yeah.
Are you talking to your elder? Are you talking to your peer? You know, so that you are able to then greet properly. You know, so for example, in isiZulu, it's almost like, I'll make an example to liken it to French. With French, if you are speaking to in a formal setting, you will sound like you are speaking in with a plural you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a plural you. In isiZulu, it's the same. The plural you is what you use to an elder or your superior. So if I am greeting my friend, I say sawubona. Did you hear that word?
Sawubona.
It's a single you.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm greeting my mother or my elder, I say sanibona. Do you hear that name?
Sanibona.
Yes. So sanibona is the plural you.
Okay.
And it's then also the formal you. So that's what you use to an elder. So if I now come and I teach you only this wu, sawubona, and then I leave you there, and then you go because you now speak isiZulu and you want to go and greet somebody else somewhere, and then you just, you know, you do it wrong, you know, you'll offend people. And I believe, I'd like to believe that you don't want to, you know. So I find it very important that people do know this is the right way to say this. And then, of course, then there are those things where they are in the language, but like, for example, how I was making that proverb earlier about ingane engakhali iphela embelekweni, imbeleko being the baby carrier. But now there is more to imbeleko. Imbeleko is also the traditional ceremony that is done for the baby after the baby's umbilical cord dries and falls.
Mm-hmm.
Introduced to their ancestor. Because now ancestors must then look after this baby. So they then have the ceremony. That ceremony is called imbele. So when that animal is slaughtered, we take that skin and use it to make the carrier. So with teaching, I do then go on that tangent. I want you to know the background, not just know that imbelego is a baby carrier. That's not enough. That's not enough. You must then know that, oh, this is imbelego. And then, oh, if I take the verb beleta, to carry the baby, that verb also means to give birth, you know, so to deliver the baby. And, oh, that verb, I can turn it into a noun, and now it is umbelethisi, a midwife.
Wow. Oh,
I can take the same verb and turn it into a different class of noun, imbelego, the baby carrier in the traditional ceremony. So then I get to then have fun in a way to do my nerdy and tell those things. So that's really what it was for me, that I wanted someone who will, to that consistency to say, can we have someone who will teach isiZulu who can speak it correctly and then also put in that culture so we understand what we are talking about? You asked about my students. Most of my students, funny enough, are in the US.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
So a lot in the East and then some in the Midwest. And then the kids and adults. There is a school, an African-centered school that I teach at as well. It's based in Atlanta, but it's an online school. As in, like, even pre-COVID, it's an online school. So there is that. And then there are families. There are people who have some link to South Africa. So maybe say someone is married to a South African person, Zulu, and so they want to learn this is Zulu as a family. And then there are people who have no connection whatsoever before, as far as they know, and they just want to learn an African language with someone who will be consistent, you know. So then they, you know, and get the resources as well and stuff like that. So then there's that. With South Africa, I had an issue. People want to, they want isiZulu for their kids, for school. I don't agree with the way isiZulu is taught at schools, because the way they teach African languages is not the same approach with English and Afrikaans. Afrikaans and English, they make sure that you are fluent, even with French and it's French and German, and that they make sure you are fluent by the time you leave high school. But with African languages, this person can do isiZulu for 6 years, but cannot, outside of the classroom, cannot, you know, make a sentence and make conversation.
Right, right.
So I don't agree with the approach. So I actually don't, I make it a point that people understand that I do not teach school curriculum, because I just feel like it would kill me. I need to be selfish about this. It would kill me. It would be just this. It's so cool. Like, what is the point of this thing? I did teach an adults group last year. It was fun because now it's adults and I can say anything. I can say anything, you know? So then the conversation can go, like, you know, they can say, oh, we want to learn about this bit of the culture. And, you know, there's no age inappropriate anything. Mm-hmm. So we can then talk about those things.
Yeah.
You know, so it actually was quite a lot of fun, you know, with that class. It was really a lot of fun. But I do have a website that is not very good, but it is there. I'm still working on it.
Okay.
It's ZuluLessons.com. ZuluLessons.com. So that's the website I use. The reason the name is Zulu instead of isiZulu is because I want people to get that you're getting everything.
Okay.
I'm talking about the people. I'm talking about the culture. I'm talking about the mystical things, so the heavens. I'm talking about the language itself. So you're getting it all, and that's that. The YouTube channel is Zulu Lessons with Thando. Thando being Thando. And I have to add that Thando is love in isiZulu. So on Instagram, it's Zulu Lessons with Thando.
Well, what I will do anyway, I will add all of those links into the show notes for people who want to learn about Zulu and people who want to get in touch with you. And they'll be able to just click from the show notes in this episode and they can find you very quickly that way. Thando, we've been talking for a while and I could talk to you for a few more hours, but I want to just thank you for this conversation today. My heart is so full from learning so much from you in this time that we've been talking. And I've learned so much, and I think you've got me on my way to learning isiZulu with the clicks and you know, the other things that you've taught me to say. And I'm excited to come back to South Africa. I'll be ready. I'll be ready this time to try the language. But thank you so much. Thank you so much for this conversation. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I actually enjoyed it.
I like to, so yes. I like to end each episode with the same question. So this is going to be fun. It's going to be fun for me. It may not be fun for you if I don't if I don't get it, but it's going to be fun anyway. Do you have any jokes, tongue twisters, cool slang words, idioms, words of wisdom, or words of advice in Isi Zulu or Isi Xhosa to share?
The tongue twister will be in Isi Xhosa. The yeah, let's start with the tongue twister in Isi Xhosa.
Okay, and you're gonna teach this to me too. So
yeah. So let's do it slowly.
All right. Got my pencil in case I gotta write it down so I remember.
Igqirha. So I G Q A. R-H-A.
Igqirha.
Yes, but now curl your tongue more. So make that tip pointy and go in the middle of your palate. Yes.
Okay.
And then igqirha, do you hear that it's coming from the throat?
Wow, I gotta think about this.
Say each sound separately first. Let's say and then say now let's say it's not easy to move from
it's not yeah
to another sound.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter what that sound is, it's not an easy thing, so it's one of those things you've got to think about, you know. Mm-hmm. So give yourself a pause, a little break.
Okay.
Try and go like you're gurgling or something.
So, e, ha.
B.
Okay.
So, Igqirha is a traditional doctor, but also any doctor. You then say, Igqirha. You change now. You're now talking about it. A conventional, let's say, a medical doctor, then you would say Igqirha. So you see it's exactly the same word, just changing the prefix.
Okay.
So a traditional medicines doctor, Igqirha. Lendlela. Le. Look how I'm shaping my mouth. It's very important here. You see, it's like I'm making a big smile. Yes, do you hear the sound is coming from this from your teeth here on the side? La.
La.
Lendlela.
Lendlela.
Yebo. Now, to keep practicing after this, you can then try and make that a little harder. Try and make it like you're kind of forcing it out, you know? Yes, so lendlela. So if I'm translating it word for word, it will sound weird. So let me say the whole thing and finish.
Yeah,
it.
Let's do that.
Igqirha, lendlela, ngu, ko, ngu, tuane. Ngu, ko, ngu, tuane. So let's say the word, each syllable. Ngu.
Ngu.
Ko.
Ko.
Ngu.
Ngu.
Tua.
Twa.
Ne.
Ngu kong ngu
tuan.
Ngu kong ngu
tuan. I'm very proud right now because you're actually doing these sounds very well. So I'm really, really happy right now. So this actually is saying the Igqirha lendlela is really the medicine man who's you're seeing by the way. So you actually don't really know where he lives because you just see him passing by over there all the time. So that one, he is the one, basically. He solves problems. He solves issues. Mm. So whatever issue, a medical issue or health issue that you might have, he will solve it for you. So basically, that's what it means. Yeah, you know, the translation of it in English. To listen to it very well, there are two oh, I forgot this girl's name, but Miriam Makeba sang it. And then there's this other girl, she sang it on her audition on The Voice, on The Voice show. It's a beautiful song. So it's a fun song. It's a very fun song.
Excuse me, you have a beautiful voice. you should have sang this episode. Oh my goodness.
Oh yes. So her name is Siki Joanne. Joanne. She sang that song. She did that song beautifully. So yes. And then that's the tongue twist out, she.
I'm gonna work on it.
Work on it. Listen to it being sung by Mama Miriam Makeba. Because there are parts of it where she says it slowly. Then you can then follow. Okay. And then you can now go to the voice video and listen to that one. Because it's a lot of fun. she did it in such a beautiful way. So it's that. And then in isiZulu, let me share the proverb. So let's share this.
Okay.
The proverb, I love proverbs, by the way. It's quite easy to follow. Unina, unina.
Unina.
Yes. Ngunina.
Ngunina.
Mazulu.
Mazulu.
Yes. So it's like saying a mother is a mother. Mazulu, your Zulu people, a mother is a mother. But really, what it's saying is wherever you find the mother, you'll find her children flocking to her, following her all the time. Because, well, she's a mother and they want to be with the person that they feel comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's just as simple, it's really that simple to say, don't be surprised. So it's not even only being used to the person who is the biological mother. It's also being used to any woman who has those maternal instinct thing, who children want to be around. So you don't actually have to be their biological mother. So it's also used to that. It's like, why do children follow you all the time? Why are you always with kids? You know? So unina unina mazulu.
Tando, thank you again so much for this conversation. I'm on cloud nine. Just, I had such a wonderful time talking with you and learning so much about isiZulu. I want to ask you really quickly, do not think about this hard at all. Just the first thing that comes to your head. In this situation, after you've been talking for quite some time, what would be the best way to say goodbye?
Sala. That's the first thing I say. Sala.
Sala.
Kahle.
Kahle.
Yes. So it means goodbye, but it means remain well. So if I were living and you were staying behind, I would say salarash. But we are online.
Mm-hmm.
We are both not going anywhere. So we just end up just saying salarash because there's no one going. If one of us was going, then I would say hamba, which means to leave. So hamba kahle, so live well, you know, so go well. So it's then, you know, so then sala kahle is okay because we are both staying where we are.
Yeah.
So yes, so sala kahle.
Sala kahle.
Ka is a K, so you'll feel it here. So, yes. Now kahle. Don't lift your tongue. Don't make a click sound. So don't lift your tongue. Do you see my tongue is flat down?
Oh my god, I can't do it.
It will come right at the back of your throat.
Hey.
So open your mouth a little wider. Go. Do you hear that? It's coming from right back here.
Hahe. Hahe.
Now say sh. You see it's like I'm smiling.
Wait. let me get loose here so I can try it again. Okay. It's
sala.
Sala.
Kahle.
Kahle.
Yes.
Kahle.
Yes.
I have to get sala kahle. Ah! Sala kahle.
Mm-hmm.
I will work on that too, but I think it's interesting. I got to work on the sounds feeling good in my mouth, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, because these are sounds that I'm not used to making and I have to get used to them. I have to get used to moving my mouth in that way. And I want to work on it. So please come back.
People focus too much on the clicks. But the sounds that are more challenging are the other sounds, with the especially the K's and the H sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like now we just said, and the ch sounds and then ch sounds. Those sounds with the H and the sounds with the K. Those are the ones that are really more, that need more attention. So I usually tell people, no, don't practice the Q's and the X's that much. Focus on this now. Because that's what you're going to be using the most.
Right.
Because even if I'm telling you that you are beautiful, El Umuhle. Look at that. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
So you need that one more than the,
Yeah.
So it just takes practice. And get your mind. This one and then this one, you know. So I usually say to people, put a pause between those syllables. Pause, because it's not going to come that smoothly, you know. It's been great. It's been great talking to you, Elle. I'm really enjoying the conversation.
Me too.
It was really enjoyable. Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure talking with you, and I will be talking to you soon.
Good. I'm looking forward to it. You take care, Elle.
You too. Bye.
Bye.